you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with, a new group. I mean, it's always exciting to talk to some of the same people over and over again, as I often do in this show, but it's nice to have it in sort of a new configuration. I know a couple of you have been on the show before with different projects, but I think the best way to start this off is if one of you wants to take the lead here and sort of give a bit of background about what we're doing here today and then what this new project is all about.
Sure. I'm Jay Hovland. I'm the singer and guitar player in this new group. The group is called Orlands. And maybe Scott and Dean can introduce themselves afterwards. But it's a musical project that came to be from an album that I was working on. And I had these songs and I had some players in mind, but like I narrowed it down to the idea of like I wanted Flim Flon guys, who Scott and Dean are, because I grew up in Flim Flon.
Okay.
And so did these guys. Actually, we all kind of grew up at the same time together in Flim Flon and kind of wanted to make it, yeah, like a back to roots Flim Flon kind of thing. So, yeah.
Cool. And I guess, yeah, Scott, if you want to introduce yourself next, we can go from there.
I also grew up in Flim Flon with Jay. We were playing rock and roll up there. I've been on Witch Police before. Field the first time and Mahogany Frog the second time. This would be my third time.
And with different groups every time, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, different groups every time.
Right on.
Yeah. Dean?
Well, hey, I'm Dean Martin, and I grew up here in Flim Flon, Creighton, you know, area as well, and we cut our teeth with our instruments and did a lot of exploring and a lot of, you know, a lot of soundscapes, a lot of soundtracky nonsense and chaos for quite a few years before we all moved away into bigger, brighter cities. And it's kind of cool that it all kind of has brought it all back to the beginning.
Are all three of you in the same city right now, or are you all in sort of different locations?
No. Well, I'm in Winnipeg, and Scott.
I'm in Winnipeg, yeah.
And Dean.
I'm back in Flim Flon.
Yeah.
Representing for the 687? 688. Oh, it's 688. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 688, 687, yes.
So how does this work then? Is this like a remote sort of project, or are you guys all getting together, you know, to make this happen in person and then going back?
Well, the way it started is I'd had the songs basically scripted out, written, and I took my little traveling studio and I went to Scott's first, and we set up in his basement on his little studio there. I recorded him playing to the songs that I had. That session went, that we did like sessions with that, I think, Scott.
Yeah, it was kind of spread out
a little bit. Yeah. Didn't take super long time, but it didn't happen really super fast either, though.
No. And then from there, I drove up to Flim Flon, which is like, you know, about an 8-hour drive.
Yeah.
So I brought my little recording gear up to Flim Flon and asked Dean if he had a couple days to spare. So we spent two days, and Dean just like hammered it right out, super profesh. And so it's a distance kind of a project, but I think it turned out very well. Obviously, these guys are professionals, so yeah,
That helps, right? Yeah, yeah. I guess I do want to get into the content of the music and everything, but how does this distant thing, how does that work for potentially playing this live? Is that in the cards in the future, or is that something that's sort of to be determined at this point?
It'd be very cool. I mean, I think we'd all be down for it, for sure. I think we'd all be down for it. We'd have to hire another guitar player and another singer, I suppose, because there's some layers going on in it. You can't get away from that when we're constructing these songs. So, but yeah, I think we're all down for that for sure. Maybe we'll just like get more flimflon people and become this kind of like, you know, one of those like robots that like can join and
Like Voltron.
Most likely,
we'd probably end up rehearsing up there,
setting up in Dean's basement or something. Yeah, exactly. That's the most likely scenario for the three of us. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have much of a frame of reference for Flin Flon. I mean, I know where it is. I've never been there, but what was it like playing music in Flin Flon when you were younger? Like, is there much of a music scene up there, or, and especially for what you guys do a little bit, off the beaten path, right? So where did that develop in a place like that?
Well, Flin Flon's a real rock and roll town. Like, it's full of miners to begin with, and they're all like listening to rock and roll.
That's right.
Like, and there was lots of musicians, like lots of rock musicians up there older than us. Like, so we grew up with that kind of leather jacket rock music on the radio and in people's houses, like quite a bit.
There was, like when we were coming up, there was actually quite an explosion of musicians of similar kind of mindset of like wanting to like branch off and experiment and find their kind of a voice within like a sonic landscape.
Okay.
You know, like you've got the guys from like Absent Sound who grew up there.
Okay, cool.
Others too, but and these fellows and we cultivate like a lot of like free form kind of music ideas were cultivated there, and we took those lessons that we all cultivated there, and nowadays, I mean, Dean would be best to speak about that, but I think there's like a very strong arts community and music community. Probably more so than even when we were there, actually, I would think at this point, right?
Yeah, when we were growing up in the 80s and early 90s, I mean, we were looking at like metal and alternative music.
Yeah.
But it was like kind of a small group of us. There was this classic rock and roll thing that was happening in the background. And Flin Flon in general is very isolated. There's not a lot of things to do. And a lot of people that were living here and working in the mines, they had a lot of disposable income. They were, you know, they liked to party and they liked to listen to good music and they would buy expensive guitars and drums and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of musicians would come and go. And I mean, because of that isolation, with no extra things to do, you know, a lot of people would spend a lot of time on their instrument and get pretty proficient at it. And, you know, and I was lucky at the time to meet, you know, I think Jason at the time pointed me in a whole different direction of the music at one point when his drummer of whatever band he was doing at the time had kind of bailed on him. Like, I think the drummer was freaked out that they were going to play a show for the first time ever and worried what the community might think. And Jason calls me like a week in advance and goes, "Hey, can you learn all this like Pavement and Dinosaur Jr. and Jane's Addiction and all this crazy stuff?" And I'd never been exposed to it properly. And then, you know, and Sonic Youth as well. And so when we started learning that stuff to perform it in like a week, it was a pretty intense process and it totally worked out. And it totally pushed us all in different musical directions in a pretty quick manner. Really opened myself up at least to, you know, the dramatic world of sound that can be done.
Well, I remember it likewise too, because I mean, Dean exposed me to other music too that I'd never really heard. Like, I think everyone was a little freakish there, you know, but you know, in a very interesting way, and everyone had their own little path, their own little diversion from a similar kind of a root of like experimental alternative kind of music and that. And yeah, I think it was influenced just being bandied about, you know?
Cool.
Everyone had their own kind of path, yeah.
We'll be right back.
with that in mind, I'm going to ask the question everyone hates answering, but how do you define the sound of what this project is? And I know it's like a loaded question because everything has like 16 different subgenres connected to it now.
Totally.
But is there like a Cole's Notes quick way to define what it is you do with this project?
I called it Dream Psych.
Dream Psych, okay.
The other day, because it kind of has like a, it is kind of like psych rock, but it is quite toned down from what you're getting. There's nothing super fast. There's nothing super heavy, but it is still sort of like a psych rock kind of vibe, I think.
Yeah. I think so. I think I was actually kind of trying to be, not trying to be, but just kind of steering myself to kind of like an emotionally honest place, you know?
Emo.
Yeah. That has connotations. Darn it. I was trying to express feelings in a logical, no. Yeah, and I was just trying to be emotionally honest. And I was trying to like, I try not to hide behind too much artifice and too much like, you know, over the top kind of fancy obfuscation and lyrics and feelings and that. And at the same time, trying to make a lush, pop. There's a lot of, I don't know.
It's a natural progression. If you listen back on Jay's records, going back like the 20 years of records that Jay's been recording, like it fits right in. Like if you go back,
Jay.
Yeah, it's total Jay. Yeah.
Does it feel like sort of the next step in the evolution, I guess? You guys obviously have listened to probably all of his stuff going back that far.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's definitely, his songwriting is really strong. It's very unique, and it's a real great part of the Winnipeg like scene, because it doesn't quite fit in kind of like really good ever. With like the mainstream stuff, like it's always the sound or whatever too, like, or like Mahogany Frog too, they're always kind of trying to find their own distinct road.
That does make sense.
I think I've always just tried to be honest in what I'm doing, and try my best not to copy, you know what I mean, just try to hold my own road, and because I mean it just seems to me that's the point, right?
Trying to be
as connected to the source or connected to your experience and your way to translate what you do with your hands and your instruments and your instruments and stuff like that, you know? So for better or ill, but like, I mean, it's just, it's nice. It's nice to have a feeling that you are seeing a progression.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Yeah.
Well, with these songs, I mean, it sounds like you had them sort of the basic structure of them, and they were the lyrics and everything written, and then you sort of brought it to the other guys. What was your vision of how these songs would turn out before you added the other players on it? Like, did the end result turn out the way you had sort of imagined the whole thing leading into this?
Definitely did. It's such a weird thing though, because you start off with a little idea, and then that idea just blossoms and blossoms and blossoms. It grows branches, it grows roots, you know, it grows just different parts, and then you imagine, and then sometimes you imagine it one way, and then you bring in people who are like professionals, as I say, people who are like you trust artistically, and put it in their hands, and then it just becomes something a little different, but just it's almost like you expected it to be that way, but it's slightly different than what you thought it was going to be. And then we had a wonderful mixer named Grant who did a wonderful job mixing it, and that just kind of He took the pieces that I'd recorded, but he mixed it in a manner that I didn't really, some things I didn't see going that way, but it is that way now, and it's perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Grant, does that make sense?
Grant Triple's going to make a lot of great records, I think.
Yeah.
But going forward, he's gotten really good. Yeah.
Well, I see his name appear in a lot of things lately too. So, he's obviously busy.
Yeah. He's super busy. Yeah.
Here, it's gone. Break out.
I guess a similar like reverse of that question for the other two of you here is like, I mean, when you heard these songs, when you were presented these songs, did you have an idea of where the end result was going to be, or was this sort of the two of you adding your own sort of vibe to it? Like, I guess how much of it was predetermined on your end as far as what it was going to sound like coming into it sort of after the fact, if that makes any sense.
Well, Jay had, there was a couple, like there was some bass lines written for me. There was some that I changed up, and there's some where I changed like quite added like, you know, quite a bit different take on it, but it was mostly like spontaneous. I think it has like a nice spontaneous feel to it because we didn't try to overthink too much of it. Like, you know, like just let it kind of happen. Like I didn't try, like obviously I practiced before we recorded and stuff, but I didn't like work through many different versions of it. I kind of was let the inspiration kind of like, or let the vibe kind of hit me, and then that was that.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that. I kind of took that vibe too. Like when Jason first sent me the demos, the four or five demos before the songs were kind of really together, and he was really unsure of like the direction of where it should go. I've been in a lot of serious bands in the past, living in Calgary for 20 years, and there was always a process of just like building the song and deconstructing it and building it back up piece by piece, and just going through that process I thought was just so monotonous. And I was so happy when Jay was just like, well, here's some material. And I decided to take a different approach with the drums going into Jay's project. I was like, I just want to make it really easy, simple, and just repetitive, and just kind of not overthink it too much as well. Because I didn't know initially which direction, you know, whatever drum ideas I painted over top of Jason's material, if he was readily going to accept that. And because of the distance involved, there wasn't a like, hey, here's all these songs and let's work on them, or let's try out all these different things. It was a very spontaneous evening where I sat down and I figured out the recording equipment, and I just put the song on. I played it once, practiced to it once, second pass, recorded a drum take. And those were the drum ideas that I initially sent to Jason, that when he finally came up to do the recording, year and a half later, we sat down with him and he's just like, no, those weren't the drums you were playing on those demos. Let's figure this out. And, you know, played them back. And then we're like, oh yeah, we revisited these ideas and then just put it down. Tried to make it as spontaneous.
Oh yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, I forgot that actually. You were playing backwards drums and I was like, no, no, no. And I took the tape and flipped it over this way, right?
It always works out.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I guess it helps having the familiarity with each other as musicians too, right? And like you said before, trusting you dealing with professionals who know what they're doing and know how to sort of add to your original vision.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's still always a little bit of insecurity. I mean, there's a gross amount of insecurity that can come with that, right? Like, especially if it's these, hey, here's my ideas. You feel very vulnerable, right?
Sure.
And like, even if you know people very well, and sometimes that could even make it worse in a way, because you're like, well, what are these people that I respect? You know, I'm going to read their expressions when I'm playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It puts you in a vulnerable position. So, you know, you really gotta like, you know, hold, you know, puff your chest up and go, nah, fuck these. These things are,
it's cool.
These are things are the way they're supposed to be. This is, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
On. I had tons of insecurity with it initially. I was just like, oh, I'm like, oh, I gotta put down some really cool drums and send it to Jay's Flin Flon project. Oh my God, I'm nervous. I got Scott from Mahogany Fried in this project. Ooh. But you know, I just kind of like decided like just go for it, and I really like what turned out. A really fun, great ideas. And I like this dream pop, you know, shoegazer kind of dreaminess. It's working for me.
Cool.
Suffering.
Yeah, and I guess I don't like naming genres or anything, but that shoegaze aspect of it when I was listening to the songs, that came through pretty strong too. So is that, I guess, like, is there something that you all listen to? Are there artists that the three of you agree on that sort of not necessarily influenced this because of the way it was written and recorded, but do you have some sort of similar touchstones as far as music that you maybe listened to at one point or still listen to?
Yeah. On the count of three. Yeah. Well, like, it's a big question. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's hard to answer. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't hang out and listen to records. Like,
no one has time for that anymore, right?
No, like Jay came to see me playing for Cantor Dust, like, and that's like, you know, like that's the, like, we will maybe see shows together, but like, I don't know, like, what would be something that we would all agree on that's relatively new, you know, like that's come out, like,
well, and it may not be either, right? It's just,
I have no idea, because there's so much new, like, stuff coming through, like,
I don't know. I mean, ones that have been knocking my socks off recently, like John Cale's Fear album, really has blown me away in the last year or so.
I see you told me about it. I haven't heard that one yet.
I see. There you go.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's what I mean. There's similar intersections of sensibilities, right? But I kind of like that idea in a way too. We all come from different branches in some ways, but I guess it's a lot of the roots are entangled, right?
Sure.
Like, I mean, I love shoegazer for sure. I mean, I grew up with that style of music, obviously My Bloody Valentine, and that's always like the catch-all band to say, but yeah. Cool. Pavement, I mean, as Dean said, always love Pavement.
Pavement's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's a tricky question to answer too, but I mean, especially if you're not hanging out all the time, right? If I ask like a band of 18-year-olds who live together, it's going to be a very different response than what you have. And that has happened too. I've had like some punk band and they're all listening to the exact same records because they're with each other 24/7. So I get it. I know we already sort of touched on the idea of potentially playing shows with this. What is sort of the goal now that you have this done? Like, what are you planning to do with this record? You know, given that you're all in different cities and that, you know, the traditional way of promoting it and supporting it is not necessarily going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. Yeah. Well, we reached out to you.
Yeah. You get a very, very small number of people who hear it from this. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then we reached out to the We Hear Now label in Stratford, Ontario, to kind of make, I thought it would be good to try something like that, make that distance, make it cooler.
Yeah.
Like instead of just kind of putting it out on something in Winnipeg and keeping it super hyper local, or kind of stretch it out a little bit more, we're just going to, I don't know, just let it be, I guess, mostly online, because we're not going to be able to play shows. Try to get some good reviews.
Yeah. And actually there's a wonderful review that Joel, Bad Gardening wrote there, that when I was reading it, I was like, this is more poetic than the lyrics on the album. It was a very lovely piece that he wrote, you know, but
yeah, those reviews are, there's something. Yeah.
Yeah.
they're interesting for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's hoping for just like buzz and word of mouth on it. Cause I mean, I do feel strongly in this, you know, sometimes you make some music, you make some art and you live with for a bit and then your interest in it dissipates sort of fairly quickly. Right. And this, I really feel strongly about. I think it's a pretty solid piece of work. So yeah, it's going to be launched on next Saturday, on the 21st, 2024.
So this will be, by the time this comes out, that'll already be available, right? So I mean, that's really a good segue into, where can people find this? If someone wants to hear this record, they're hearing about it for the first time on this podcast, what's the best way to track it down? Or what will be the best? Right now, at the time we're talking, right? It doesn't exist yet, but...
Yeah, well, just...
No, you go.
I go, okay. Well, there's Orleans is the name of the band. So, you know, you can find it on Bandcamp. It's on the We Hear and Now label. You can go there and there's a bunch of great artists on that page as well. And you can find the album there as well. And there's going to be cassettes actually.
Oh, cool.
For this too. So I would say pre-order, but I think by the time this is out, you can probably just actually actively order them online from We Hear Now label.
Cool.
We Hear and Now. Yeah. Yeah. We Hear and Now. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now. Right on, right on. So, and then is this, has this, I know it's all very fresh and new, but do you feel like there'll be any follow-up to this? Like, do you feel, after having sort of heard the finished product here, is there a desire amongst you to make more of this kind of stuff?
Actually, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
really- yeah. And the way Grant really put it together made it sound so just beautiful. And we got it kind of finished. And I know having it just being done, having this great frame, I guess, for it, having it sound so good at the end with this great mix, really makes it exciting to think about doing it again.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely not easy, right? The amount of recording that goes into it and that, but it's very worthwhile, you know. But it's right, yeah, it's really nice, yeah, to give it to Grant and they
build a ton of work for Jay. It's a ton of work for Jay though.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
He's done a lot of work. The songs might be written for years, but really him recording all the vocals and guitars himself, it's a large amount of art on his part.
Yeah, but you never think of it that way. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the stick brain of making music, right? You just do it. There's no question about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You put other things aside to do scope.
Just happens. Yeah. But
you've been doing it for almost 30 years now, right?
Right. Yeah.
Probably couldn't stop if you wanted to. It just comes out, right?
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Is there at this point any way for people to find out more information about the group? Do you have anything online that is, whether it's details of who you are or what you do or social media or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, well, on the Bandcamp page, you can read a little bit up on that. There's a connection to contact us, obviously, and then there's actually a video that was produced for one of the lead songs off the album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that,
did you want to speak to that? Oh, sorry.
Is that already out or is that something that's coming sort of?
Yeah, there's a video on YouTube done by local Patrick McAlishan. He took, it was kind of like, we thought we, oh, it'd be nice to have a, we could have a video as kind of a promo, have it come out before the record comes out. So just share that around a bit. And Jay's like, oh, we should just do something with found footage or something. I'm like, oh, and then the Nuit Blanche, I saw Patrick had a video chaos pad.
Oh, cool.
At the Devil May Care brewery. And I'm like, oh shit, I'll ask Patrick if he just wants to run some shit through his new chaos pad toy, make us a nice video. And he did. And it's really nice. There's Flin Flon in the background and everything.
Oh, right on.
It's gorgeous.
Right on. It goes back to the Flin Flon roots. That's great.